Come to the door.
Come to the door. Hear the thunder.
The day of wrath is now in store.
Jesus is the ark of safety. Whosoever will come to the door.
There was a preacher in the Bible preparing for a storm that would descend.
Love warned that sin would pull men under,
but just a few were rescued in the end. He pointed to the ark God had provided, a refuge right before their very eyes.
But soon the mocking crowd had been divided from Noah, who obeyed and he survived.
Come to the door.
Come to the door. Hear the thunder.
The day of wrath.
The day of wrath is now in store.
Jesus is the ark of safety.
Whosoever will come to the door.
This is the age in which we're living. Sinners still reject the warning cry.
Just like before, a storm is coming.
This time, flames will melt the sky. Don't wait to knock until the door shuts. Those of old found out it was too late.
If you stay outside in your tradition, you'll find dead religion sealed your fate.
Come to the door.
Come to the door. Hear the thunder.
The day of wrath.
The day of wrath is now in store.
Jesus is the ark of safety.
Whosoever will come to the door.
Come to the door.
Come to the door. Hear the thunder.
The day of wrath.
The day of wrath is now in store.
Jesus is the ark of safety.
Whosoever will come to the door.
It's either hell or heaven, so make your calling sure. The final invitation to come inside the door. Come to the door.
Come to the door. Hear the thunder.
The day of wrath.
The day of wrath is now in store.
Jesus is the ark of safety.
Whosoever will come to the door.
Jesus is the ark of safety.
Whosoever will come to the door.
Come to the door.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for the day's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Must Be Fulfilled. Today's message is based on Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. So let us open with prayer. Eternal God, mighty in the heavens, you brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, lifting him to life and drawing him up into the glory he shares with you in the Holy Spirit. Stretch our minds and hearts towards your majestic love. Raise our eyes, lift our heads, expand our vision of you and your sovereign purposes in the world that rest upon the strength of our ascended Lord. Amen. So turn now in your Bibles to Luke 24, starting at verse 44. Then Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. We will be interrupting our series on Isaiah's fourth servant song due to this multiple event Sunday. This is Ascension of Our Lord celebration, where Jesus ascends back to heaven after his resurrection. He goes back to his Father, but before, Jesus gives his disciples a charge. The actual day is Thursday. Monday is Memorial Day, where we will honor so many who gave of themselves as a sacrifice for our nation. As well, we are beginning the season of graduation, for many of our young people are making a very significant step in their lives. We have much to cover today. But we begin with the ascension of Jesus. Our passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, where the physician is wrapping up his work on the life of Jesus. There's a parallel in the beginning of Acts of the Apostles that began that book, also written by Luke. This event is of great importance. And then beginning at 44, he said, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled." And he opened their understanding, they might comprehend the scriptures. Jesus almost said, "I told you so," by reminding them that all that had happened just as he said it would. To help his disciples take it all in, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This also explains why being in a solid church is so important. If we just read the Bible without acceptance of the Holy Spirit, we will have little or no understanding of what we have read. Jesus opens their understanding with his Spirit prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. In that 1 hour on Pentecost in the upper chamber with Christ, Scripture became a new book to the disciples. Never forgot how earnestly and constantly our Lord appealed to the testimony of the Word. And Jesus wanted the disciples to understand that the cross was not some unfortunate obstacle that had to be hurdled. It was a necessary part of God's redemptive plan for man. That it would be in the name of a crucified and risen Savior that repentance and remission of sins would be brought to the world. Spurgeon tells it as, "They were told by their great master what to preach, where to preach it, and how to preach it, and even where to begin to preach it." To preach the gospel in Jesus' name means to preach it under his orders, preach it on his authority, preach it knowing repentance and remission of sin come by the virtue of his name, and refusing to preach it in our own name. This passage parallels Matthew's Great Commission in chapter 28. And Jesus then solemnly tells them that they were witnesses of these things, not only witnesses of the events surrounding the work of Jesus, but also the commission itself to spread the gospel. This was a work they were all mutually responsible for. Their work was to begin at Jerusalem, and there were many reasons why it was fitting for the preaching of the gospel to begin there. If we look in Isaiah 2:3 and Joel 2:32, it clearly states in the scripture it should be so. Also because that is where the facts of the gospel took place, and the truth of those facts should be tested straight away. Other reasons for Jerusalem are to honor the Jewish people and to bring them the gospel first. Because it was good to begin where we are tempted not to begin. Because time is short, and it's good to begin near where we are. Because it's good to begin where we expect opposition. Now, this last one may be troubling to some. Common sense tells us to avoid opposition. The Holy Spirit tells us to be bold in our ministry, to go where we are directed by the Spirit, and not that this will be an easy journey. Discipleship and servanthood require sacrifice. So going now to verse 49 through 53 and the conclusion of this passage. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from high." And then he lifted up his hands, he blessed them, and it came to pass as he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They could not do the work Jesus had called them to do unless they were endued with the power from on high. And that power would come as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Often we fail when we think we are capable on our own. The power of Christianity comes from the gospel and the Spirit. You need both to succeed. Remember, we are merely seed planters. We must rely on the Holy Spirit to create the harvest. Jesus continued to appear to his people for 40 days following his resurrection. Eventually came the day when he would ascend to heaven. And when he did, Jesus left the earth blessing his church. And he continues to bless the church as much as his people will receive. Nothing but blessing had ever come from those hands, and now Jesus stands as a high priest over his people to bless them. Thus he maintains, and he will remain until he comes again, his hands uplifted and his lip pronouncing the blessedness of his own. When Jesus blesses his people, it isn't just a pious wish like, I hope things work out for you, or I hope you'll be feeling better. Instead, the blessings of Jesus have inherent power within it. And again, as we hear from Spurgeon, if he has blessed you, you shall be blessed, for there is no power in heaven or earth or hell that can reverse the blessing which he gives. While we see those uplifted hands, there can be no room for doubt or fear. When other menacing hands are stretched out to harm or vex us, whether in life or in death, in adversity or prosperity, in sorrow or in joy, we know that by token we are safe. But the blessing of Jesus requires our acceptance. It is given to all. However, to benefit from this blessing, we must make it a part of ourselves. Jesus had to ascend so that confidence would be put in the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit and not in the geographical presence of Jesus. He spent those 40 days providing truth of his resurrection and preparing his disciples for his departure. He rises by his own power and majesty. He needs no help. He proved the innate power of his deity, by which he could depart out of the world just when he willed, breaking the laws of gravity and suspending the laws usually governing matter. And William Barclay brings up a good point. It was unthinkable that the appearances of Jesus should grow fewer and fewer until they finally just petered out. That would have effectively wrecked the faith of men. We long for the presence of Jesus, but our faith only goes stronger in his absence. If he remained, we would rely on him to do all things. We would do little or nothing. We see this in our world today as many do nothing depending on mom or dad or the government to do it for us, as we become weaker and dependent on them and never grow in ourselves. We are not called to be passive, but active followers and missionaries for Christ. And it says they worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And this shows the wonderful result of the ministry of Jesus in the disciples' lives. They worshiped him. This means they knew Jesus was God. They gave him the honor he deserves. They returned to Jerusalem. This means they did just what Jesus told them to do, and they were obedient. With great joy, this means they really believed Jesus rose from the dead. They let the joy of that fact touch everything in their lives. This means that they lived as public followers of Jesus. They could not hide it without their love and worship toward him. A little before they could not believe for joy, now they were joyful just because they believed. Before they hid in fear, now they are fearless. When we go to Pentecost, we will see their courage now that they have grasped the truth and received the power of Christ. Our prayers should not be for such as courage that we must have to face the world in Christ that was assured by the Spirit. It will not be an easy journey, but the result will be glorious. And we end with one word. And when does God do this kind of work in his people? What do we say? We say, Amen. What else is there to be said? Now, turning now to our observation for Memorial Day, look to John 15:13. For greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Today and tomorrow, we acknowledge the profound significance of Memorial Day, a time when we unite as a nation to remember and honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice in service to their country. Today, our hearts are heavy with the weight of loss and gratitude as we reflect on the lives cut short, the families forever changed by the selfless acts of these brave men and women. A great example is of the Bedford Boys from Bedford, Virginia. 37 young men from there enlisted to fight in World War II. They were part of the Virginia National Guard, serving with the 29th Infantry of the U.S. Army. This unit was part of the initial wave storming Omaha Beach on D-Day. 19 Bedford soldiers died probably within 15 minutes. 3 more died over the next couple of days. Nearly 6 weeks passed before the residents of Bedford learned what had happened to their boys. It was like waiting for an earthquake, required Helen Cundis, who later married one of the boys, Roy Stevens, from Company A. But on July 17th, Elizabeth Tess, the telephone operator in Green's drugstore, turned on the telegraph machine and saw the names of the dead Bedford soldiers coming clicking out. Tess sent out telegrams all over the town, to the woolen mill, to the farmhouses, to the home of the minister, the doctor, the undertaker, the taxi driver. It was one still little town, she remembers. Everybody's heart was broken. Macy Hobeck lost 2 sons. Her daughter Lucille, who today leads tours at the D-Day Memorial, says that her mother would wake up suddenly in bed and cry out, "Where are my boys? Where are my boys?" Viola Parker received a telegram that said her husband Earl was missing in action. And I thought, well, I'd better dust. So I dusted the whole house. She then picked up her infant daughter and began to walk toward the mountains. "We're going to make it," she told our daughter. "We're going to make it." 2 days later, the Bedford Bulletin eulogized, "These Bedford men have given their lives in the same cause for which men in all ages have made the supreme sacrifice, the preservation of the ideals of liberty and justice toward which mankind has been struggling since the dawn of time." Now, only 6 Bedford men who landed on D-Day survived and eventually returned home. Roy Stevens was one, but his brother Ray was not, his twin brother, identical twins. "We were never separated before June 6, 1944, says Roy. Then brothers Raymond and Bedford Hoback, they joined the Army in 1941. They couldn't take much with them, but Raymond made sure to tuck his Bible into his bag. And 3 years later, when he waded into the thunderous water at Omaha Beach, he still had it with him. It was found clutched in his hand while he was lying on the beach. Bedford suffered the highest per capita of casualties of any community in World War II. The community built a memorial to honor these brave men, the D-Day Memorial, and it's well worth the visit. But this is but one example. Every community in America experienced much the same, but not so dramatic. Their sacrifice echoes through the annals of time, reminding us of the tremendous cost of war. And amid this, we turn to John 15:13. "For greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." A verse that encapsulates the essence of selfless love and sacrifice. It serves as a guiding light, reminding us of the depths to which one can go for the sake of others. Join me as we delve into this profound passage, seeking wisdom and inspiration as we honor those who have given their all on this Memorial Day. But first and foremost, we must acknowledge the immense cost of the sacrifices made by the military and police personnel who have laid down their lives in service of their country. This selflessness and bravery shine as beacons of inspiration. The sacrifices these courageous individuals make come at a heavy price, a price that is felt deeply by their families and loved ones left behind. The pain and grief experienced by these families is immeasurable. The void left by losing a loved one is a burden carried throughout their lives. Yet amidst the heart-wrenching nature of these sacrifices, there is found solace and inspiration in the profound love that is displayed through them. We hear stories of heroes who put the well-being of others above their own, faced danger with unwavering courage, and made the ultimate sacrifice to protect the freedoms we hold dear. We can remember the names and stories of those who have fallen and honor their memory and the depth of their love by cherishing the freedoms they fought to preserve. Though their loss is deeply felt, their sacrifices serve as a testament to the power of love and indomitable spirit of those they choose to serve. And in our verse, Jesus describes a love that surpasses all others, characterized by selflessness, sacrifice, and unparalleled depth. This greatest love finds its ultimate embodiment in the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The sacrifice of Jesus serves as a pinnacle of love as he willingly laid down his life for the salvation of humanity. In his selfless act, he demonstrated a love that knows no bounds, a love that transcends human understanding, Jesus' sacrifice exemplifies the essence of laying down one's life for others, paving the way for reconciliation, forgiveness, and eternal life. In reflecting upon the sacrificial love of Jesus, we can draw parallels to the courageous sacrifices made by fallen soldiers. Just as Jesus gave his life for the sake of others, these brave men and women were willing to lay down their lives to defend our country, their fellow citizens, and the ideals they held dear. Their sacrifices mirror the sacrificial love of Jesus, as they too exemplified a selflessness that sought the greater good, even at the cost of their own lives. We are called to respond as we reflect on the greatest love demonstrated by Jesus and the sacrifices of our fallen heroes. Let us not simply admire their acts of love, but let their examples inspire us to embody that same selflessness, compassion, and willingness to sacrifice in our own lives. Their sacrifices should motivate us to live lives of gratitude, service, and love, carrying their legacy forward with honor and reverence. Let's create a culture of appreciation and recognition for their sacrifices, ensuring they feel valued and cared for. As we responded to the call, we honor the memory of those who have given their lives and carried their legacy forward. Their sacrifices remind us of the immense power and impact of selflessness. By embodying their spirit, we contribute to a world that cherishes peace, upholds justice, and values the worth of every individual. This is what Memorial Day really is. May we be a congregation that actively responds to the call, making a difference in the lives of others and embodying the love and sacrifice that we remember on this Memorial Day. As we stand on the threshold of this Memorial Day, let us pause in silence to remember the honor of the fallen. Let their names, stories, and sacrifices be etched upon our hearts forever. Finally, let us offer a prayer of gratitude, expressing our deep appreciation for the sacrificial love displayed by those we remember on this day. May we seek comfort and strength for the families and loved ones who continue to carry the weight of their loss. May our lives be a testament to the profound impact of their sacrifice. May we strive to live in a manner worthy of their memory. So let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the freedom you have given us, for the price that was paid by Christ that we could live free. We remember the day, the cost of it all, the great sacrifice for freedom. We thank you for the brave men and women who have fought and continue to fight so courageously for our nation. We ask for your covering and blessing over them and their families. We pray that you would be gracious and encircle them with your peace. We pray for your great favor and goodness to be evident in their lives. Please be with all those who wear the uniform, who serve our communities and nation every single day. We ask that you provide your protection, that you would be their guiding force who leads the way, and their rear guard who keeps them safe from behind. We ask that you would draw them to yourselves amid the dangers they face in a dark world, for you are the truth, you are the way, you are the light. O God, we give you praise for these people who have allowed us to serve and worship you in freedom. We do not take for granted there are millions of Christians around the world afraid of prison or even death because of what they believe. Our veterans are a significant reason why we do not fear, and we thank you for them. Amen. And Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious gift of freedom, the freedom to worship, to speak, and to live according to our conscience. On this Memorial Day, we remember with deep gratitude the brave men and women who gave their lives so that we might enjoy these liberties. Their sacrifice reflects the love of Christ who laid down his life that we might be eternally free. Help us to use our freedom wisely, to serve others, to seek justice, and reflect your light in a world longing for peace. Comfort the families who have lost loved ones in service and remind them that their sacrifice was not in vain. May we live each day with thankfulness and courage, honoring both their memory and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now a brief moment for our graduates, both here and near to us. They make a big change in their life at this point. Whether it's high school or college, they advance along to another stage of their life's journey. Remember that these people who will be our leaders and citizens in it will determine our future. They deserve thanksgiving for their achievement and our blessing and support that they may continue to grow in wisdom. From 1 Kings 3:9, Solomon prays, "Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" God offered great wealth, but Solomon chose wisdom. May our graduates grow in wisdom and in discernment. Today we acknowledge Christ as God extending to heaven something that must be fulfilled. We acknowledge those in service to our nation, notably our military. But we must extend this to all police and fire and rescue as well. And we pray for our graduates as they fulfill their next steps in fulfilling their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us close with our benediction. Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Alleluia. Go and make disciples of all nations, says the Lord. I am with you always to the end of the time. Alleluia. And may the love of the cross, the power of the resurrection, and the presence of the living Lord be with you always. And the blessings of the eternal God, creator and sustainer, risen and ascended Lord and Savior, giver of holiness and love, be upon you now and evermore. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church, worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 for Truth Source, the Word of God. You can also find a video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.